Welcome to Recalculating Small Business. Like its award-winning book, Recalculating is dedicated to small business in America. Your hosts are Don Mazzella and Dan Perkins. Don Mazzella is the editor-in-chief of the Small Business Digest. Dan Perkins is a registered investment advisor with 43 years' experience in managing money.
Dan Perkins here, your co-host, along with Don Mazzella of Recalculating for Small Business. Our radio program is dedicated to you, helping the small business owners increase their profits. We draw our name from Recalculating, voted the best small business book of 2017 by the Independent Press. In this book, it features ways to grow your small business. Now, here's Don Mazzella.
Well, Dan, President Trump has signed the bill of probably one of the most important tax reductions in the last 30 years. And we have with us today someone who's going to talk about how it affects the small independent business owner. We have Keith Hall, who's president and CEO of the National Association for the Self-Employed, NASE, and he's here to talk about that and more. Keith, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Don. Thanks for having me.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, your organization, your website, and then my first question before turning over to Dan is, how does this tax change affect small independent businesses, the self-employed?
Well, great. I think I agree with you first off that this is probably, you know, maybe the most dramatic tax reform, tax cut, most likely in our lifetime. We can harken back to the days of Reaganomics, I guess. There was a big tax cut back then, but this is unique in our lifetime, and I hope that small businesses everywhere recognize that this is a great opportunity. I'm with the National Association for the Self-Employed. We've been around for almost 40 years. We represent the smallest of small business owners. Our membership basically has about 50,000 members, all of them less than 10 employees. Most of them work out of their homes. Most of them have created their own job. They went out and had an idea, had a niche, started a business, and created their own job along with others. And that's something I'm particularly proud of. This business segment that we represent, which our goal is just to help them be more successful, mainly by providing expertise, answering one more question. We have experts online to answer specific questions from our members. I hope that most people recognize this economic segment of businesses is the only segment that has had continuous growth since the Depression. This is the most powerful economic force in this country. There are about 30 million Schedule C's filed, which is basically the business tax form that self-employed people file with their tax return. 30 million of those, almost one out of five tax returns, is represented by a self-employed business owner. So I'm very proud to be associated with the NASE. Our website is nase.org. Love for the listeners to go learn more about us. Love to have you join us, join our voice in D.C., because I think after signing this bill, I'd love to say we've made a difference for small business.
That's really encouraging. Now, can you be specific to us and say what parts of this new bill directly affects positively and negatively on independent businesses?
Absolutely. First and foremost, this bill that now has become law, this bill, first and foremost, is a tax cut on business income. Much easier to see that impact, at least today, from the corporate form of organization, because basically that tax rate's gone from 35% down to 21%. You guys have talked about the impact that some companies have already lined up and added income to the wages of their employees with respect to this increase in cash flow that they're going to experience with lower tax rates. That's exactly what the economic impact begins with. And providing more money to workers, to middle class, to the economy. So first and foremost, this is a tax cut. Now, the self-employed business owner is one of those entities that, many of the listeners probably heard about this pass-through taxation concept. And basically that means we small business owners that operate as self-employed people, sole proprietorships, S-corporations, LLCs, partnerships even, we basically pay tax at the individual tax rates because the business income flows through to our personal tax returns. So this bill does provide a tax cut for business income for many of those pass-through taxations. So many of those small businesses will have more of their earnings to reinvest in the company via this tax cut, which is a positive thing. You know, as we it's the time of year we talk about Santa Claus and our list for Santa and whether Santa delivered all the stuff we had asked for. And I think there's certainly some wishes that I had for small business that didn't show up in this bill, because not all pass-through businesses will have that tax cut. The bill currently excludes many service organizations like attorneys or accountants or doctors, those type of things. And I think the logic, you know, I hate using the word IRS and logic in the same sentence, but the logic there is that those industries don't invest in infrastructure. They don't buy new restaurant equipment. They don't build new factories. I would contend that sector of the economy invests in people directly because they hire new assistants. They hire new staff accountants. They hire new staff lawyers. You know, those are directly created new jobs. So I would hope as we go through the next few years and we have additional discussions about how these things are going to be calculated, how the Treasury Department will apply those things, I hope that tax cut is expanded. Now for my point and what I've been standing on my little soapbox for many years is that the number one thing a small business owner wants in tax reform is simplification. Because the number one asset most small business owners have is just their time. It is the asset that they can't recreate. They can't get more of it. And right now, the average, you know, self-employed, even somebody that uses an outside CPA or a tax professional, still spends about 160 hours every year managing their tax return. Getting forms together, getting receipts together, stressing over who knows how much money they spend on Advil, just dealing with the tax code. But if we can find a way to make the tax code easier, that will free up time for small business, which is probably more important than the tax cut. And I think this tax bill does begin to address simplicity. Back to the wish list, we had hoped that the alternative minimum tax would go away. It's still going to be in place for individuals, but the exemptions and the amounts that are going to apply are much higher. So many people will find it easier because they won't get kicked into alternative minimum tax. The increase of the standard deduction on Schedule A will help. Any of those type of things that provide simplicity, that is what I believe really is important to the self-employed business owner.
That's a hell of a thing. The things you said is we have to digest. Dan?
Well, first of all, thank you for joining us on the show today. And I would like to start off by helping our audience understand that there's some other things that were passed in addition to the changes in the tax structure. One of them might be very beneficial to small business. That was the repeal of the personal mandate under Obamacare, where if we didn't buy insurance, we had to pay a penalty tax. That's now gone, which in a small business, every dollar saved in taxes could be beneficial. And the third part of this legislation was the ability to begin drilling in Anwar in Alaska to develop those natural resource energy sources for us as a nation to make sure that we become energy independent. But I believe it's probably going to create a huge opportunity for a lot of small businesses to be formed in Alaska to work supporting the large drillers and developers. There's a lot of small businesses go in there. It's more than just tax reform. There are other parts in this triple package that may have some implications. What do you think is the of all the things that have happened under the bills, I should say plural, of all the things that have happened, what do you think is the most valuable change to people like Don and I and your constituents?
Well, I still think, first and foremost, this represents a reduction in tax. It is a tax cut. You know, depending on how you want to argue, one of my favorite sayings is, you know, if you torture the numbers long enough, they'll tell you what you want to hear. And you know, depending on which way you lean, depending on which side of the aisle you tend to wake up and support, you can talk about how much this is going to affect the deficit, which I think is not an immaterial fact to consider. But at the end of the day, this is about competitive, being globally competitive with other countries, putting the corporations, those that may invest in things like you're talking about in energy production around the world, putting us in a better stead as a country, as individual businesses and business owners, in a level playing field with the rest of the world, I think is probably the most important part of this legislation. Now, I think it's very difficult as we just talk around the dinner table of how the global economics and overall tax decreases, how that ends up affecting, you know, a random small business owner on Thursday morning when they get up to go find a new customer. But all of that stuff translates into ancillary businesses. Like you talk about the big giant drilling companies, those are corporations. They're going to have a much lower tax rate. They're going to have the ability to do more exploration. All of those extra options trickle down, and I know that's like a buzzword, you know, since the Reagan days, but all of that economic growth, all of those new opportunities, that equity worldwide trickles down even to the mom and pop shops. And so to me, even though it doesn't sound as sexy when we say it, it doesn't feel as close to home, I think the number one thing that it has been accomplished and I hope is proven over the next 10 years as the economy does experience what we hope it does is that this is the most important factor. You know, I think if you want to get more detailed on, you know, just the small business next door, I still intend as long as my voice can be heard, as long as I have a chance to talk about it, I want simplification in the tax code. I think the stake in the ground, which, and I'm going to get a little bit dicey here on new ideas, but this stake in the ground of increasing the standard deduction, I think is an opportunity to expand that concept throughout small business taxation. The Treasury Secretary actually has the ability, the President, the Administrative Office has the ability through executive order and technical guidelines to give us safe harbors on calculating expenses for self-employed business income. For example, we already have a standard deduction for the home office deduction. So rather than going through this giant calculation, keeping a bunch of receipts on utilities, on maintenance, on repairs, all you have to do is click a box and you get $5 per square foot deduction. That same concept could be expanded throughout the Schedule C. So rather than fill out a form 4562 for depreciation, the Treasury Department can say, here, small business owners, click a box. If you're in this industry, in this part of the country, you get this deduction. And I think this concept, which I believe has gotten some momentum in the public era, in Congress, in discussions, that simplification is the key to helping the small business owner get that one more new job. So I still think the number one thing for this bill is a tax cut, and I think that's going to make a big difference. But number two, I think this is the beginning of realizing that the tax code is just too complicated.
Dan Perkins here from Recalculating.biz with your featured book. I want to tell you about a recent interview I had with Bob Bethel, a turnaround specialist with lots of success in small business. Bob's new book is Strengthen Your Business: Fail-Proof Strategies for Small Business. He tells us of his life successes and failures, that have made him and his clients so successful. Over the years, Bob has brought 77 companies back from the brink and changed them into thriving, profitable businesses. His energy is amazing, and at 74, he proves that you can still have a great deal to give others if you just try. His suggestions are easy to understand and very helpful. One insight struck me was that most companies do not have a plan. The old Chinese proverb says, if you don't know where you're going, then any road will take you there, is true today. Bob Bethel's book, Strengthen Your Business, can be found at Amazon.com or can be ordered at your local bookstore. This has been Dan Perkins with your Recalculating.biz featured book. Dan Perkins here from Songs and Stories for Soldiers with your veterans tip of the day. As a veteran, are you getting everything that you're entitled to? Many merchants are proud to offer discounts to veterans. They can be anything from a big box store to the corner market. Most don't do a very good job of promoting their veterans programs, so you'll have to do a little homework and find them on your own. This is especially important if you're making a major purchase like appliances or even a new car. So when you're going to the store, get into the habit of asking the salesperson, do you offer discounts to veterans? If they say yes, then ask how much. If you need a new refrigerator or a new washer and dryer, the discount for you could be significant. So make sure you get what you're entitled to by stepping up and asking, do you offer discounts for veterans? Your wallet will be better off for asking. This has been Dan Perkins with your Songs and Stories for Soldiers.us Veterans Tip of the Day.
Amen to that. Amen to that. So before this last round of adjustments between the conferees, there was a provision being discussed that if you formed a C corporation in 2018 and you retained ownership for that corporation for 5 years and your shareholders stayed with you, after 5 years, if you sold the corporation, it would be totally tax-free. Do you know if that provision survived?
I do not think that provision survived.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's one of those things you can get. We could spend an entire week just talking about options. Would be somewhat cumbersome to manage through the process, and potentially could even be counterproductive to creating new jobs if individuals or entities go into the preparation of a new business, new structure, new venture with the intent of ending it at the end of 5 years. That kind of changes the whole concept of long-term economic growth. And so you could probably arm wrestle either way. But that would be it's certainly interesting, but that would be a difficult one to truly support, I think, depending on the details that were involved.
Yeah. The one of the significant things that you mentioned was the lower of the corporate tax rate. And we saw yesterday, literally within moments after the bill passed, even before the president signed the bill, AT&T announced that they were going to pay a $1,000 bonus to 200,000 of their employees. And shortly after that, Fifth Third Bank and Wells Fargo announced similar programs and adjustments to the minimum wage of at least $15 an hour. And some of the pundits are suggesting that more and more corporations will do this because the significant reduction in the tax rate frees up capital for the corporations to be either pay more in compensation to their employees or dividends or invest to make their companies grow. And I know that it was just yesterday, but do you think that trend may happen and that what we might see with the repatriation provision to bring what some people think is $2 trillion back to the United States, is that going to make it more money to spend to grow the economy?
I think absolutely yes. I think all of those individual provisions were predicated on those exact results. And so, when you put your faith in it, and part of this is faith. I think interestingly, I saw a headline in the Wall Street Journal, I think yesterday as the votes were being counted, that I think the headline was the U.S. economy is about to become the proving ground for tax cutting theories, which I like the way that reads because that's exactly the truth. You know, all of this economic growth, all of the expectations, all of what we think is going to happen with a lower tax rate is really just theory at this point. And again, if you get, you know, you get 10 people in a room, you get 5 people that tend to be left-leaners and you get 5 people that tend to be right-leaners, you're probably already going to have 11 opinions, first of all, with the 10 people you have in the room. But the,
right.
the five people that don't believe in this strategy, you know, they still have the same goals. They still want there to be new jobs. They still want there to be economic growth. They still want our country to be the most powerful country. They still have the same basic goals. They just have a different belief on how to get there. And when
right.
we talk about the faith in tax cuts and what that's going to mean and what economic growth means, and then the next day you see that corporations are making the decisions to increase the wages of their workers. To me, that's where faith becomes a reality, because this is exactly what we hope happens. Now, again, time will certainly tell. And 10 years, I mean, all of these calculations are based on 10 years. You know, nobody that's president now is going to be president 10 years from now, right? That's just that's we have limits. So it kind of goes past an individual, whether you like this person or don't like this person. This is the law now. Let's give it a chance to work. And early results are, and we're one day into this thing, but early results are this appears to be having the impact that it was intended to have. And that's very encouraging.
I have one more question, then I'll give it back to Don. I want to talk about the people who are saying that this will add $1 trillion to the deficit. And very quietly, they say over 10 years. So I'm not dismissing the numbers. $1 trillion over 10 years is $100 billion a year. I'm amazed that people were talking about giving money back to the taxpayer, and they're concerned about raising the deficit by $1 trillion, and yet in the previous administration, we raised it by almost $1 trillion a year for 8 years, and nobody was seemed to be concerned about the fact that that was costing us an additional $1 trillion a year in debt. Here we're talking about a situation, and again, I like what you said about 10 years is a long time. We don't know what the economic impact will be to a lower corporate tax rate, better wages, to the cash flow into the treasury each year over the next 10 years to do an offset to supposedly the $1 trillion of deficit that this is going to add to the economy. So I guess I'm interested from your perspective, are you concerned about the function of the $1 trillion being added, and do you think the economy can grow past that?
Well, I hope I would always say that I'm concerned about the national debt. I think when you look at our overall national budget, we have, you know, so much of our annual budget is already set in stone. You know, the money that we spend for Social Security, Medicare, the military, and interest on the national debt puts us in almost a straitjacket financially. So yes, I hope I always say that I'm concerned about the national debt. And I would back to the wish list for Santa, I would love to be able to provide the impetus for economic growth that I believe this tax bill can do without it having a material impact on the national debt. Of course I would like to have that. But at the same time, I believe that the way to manage this process, to maintain the commitment we have to our Social Security beneficiaries, to Medicare, I believe those of us who have been blessed are called upon to help those that need help. So some of those entitlements clearly still need to be in place and are important. But the way to manage all of the things that we want to accomplish as a nation is to grow, is to have economic growth, to create new jobs, to bring money back over to the states, to put our companies in a better position to compete in a global marketplace. That is my fundamental faith-based belief in what we need to do as a nation. And this is going to give us a chance to do that. But I hope I never say I'm not worried about the debt. because just like a personal budget, just like my company's budget, you know, we need to be fiscally responsible at the same time. But I believe this is the right step in managing that fiscal responsibility.
Thank you. Don, back to you.
I'll ask one last question, then Dan, you ask one more. My question, I guess, do you think this will improve the popularity of President Trump? Or I'll just leave it at that.
Well, that's a great question, and I'm going to try my best to avoid that question, because at best I can be a tax guy and a small business owner. What makes someone popular and somebody else unpopular is such a difficult thing. What I hope happens is, regardless of an individual's popularity, what I hope happens is that the choices we've made as a legislative body, the senators, our congressmen, with the president's help, what I hope happens is this bill is looked back upon as a true step in the right direction toward economic growth. If that happens, if what I hope this tax bill does for business, for my membership, for self-employed, for new jobs, if what I hope this bill does actually happens, it's difficult for me to see that the president wouldn't be more popular than he is today. It would be. I mean, there's so many other things that we all choose to do. We choose to tweet. Many of those are his choices. But if this does what I hope it does, I can't imagine he as a president, the senators where they are, the group of legislators that we've elected to represent us. I think all of those will be more popular if this does what we think it's going to do.
I was just going to say my last question is, Do you feel that this bill does, in fact, help the middle class in our country, or is it simply a tax bill for the rich?
Well, I believe it does help. I think by very definition, it, you know, goes back to, if you torture the numbers long enough, they'll tell you what you want to hear. You know, anytime you have a tax cut that is substantial, those who have higher income are going to have a bigger benefit. It's just math. You know, and so if you go into the analysis saying I'm gonna support this as just a measure for the rich, you can certainly support that, because if you have someone that makes significant amount of money each year, and now we're gonna pay lower tax rates, that person is gonna have a significant benefit. But I also believe that this tax bill will help all families. You know, one directly and two indirectly. Number one, I think the Joint Committee on Taxation, which I think is as close to an independent body as you can get that has the detail that they need, they issued a report last week that 80% of households will have an increase in their monthly paychecks, their cash flow, beginning in February. That number from the Joint Committee on Taxation was as low as 58% back in the summer when there was the first arm wrestling over this bill began. So that kind of gives me some confidence on the process itself, the negotiations that went on behind closed doors, because a vast majority of households will have an increase in cash flow directly from this tax bill. And then indirectly, we talked about competitive worldwide business ventures, all of those things, I believe, will have an impact downstream, even to the smallest of small businesses, hoping to create one more job, which I believe will directly improve the opportunities for low-income and middle-income people. So I believe there's both a direct benefit and an indirect benefit. But again, you know, it back to this number thing, math is math. If you want to make a case that the wealthier you are, the bigger benefit you get from this tax cut, it's probably true, because that's just the math of the nature. But it's my hope that most people do the right thing, and I think, like we've heard from Fifth Third Bank, from Wells Fargo, I think you'll see reinvestment in people, which ultimately is what this whole thing is about.
Good. Thank you. Don, back to you again.
Keith, we're talking with Keith Hall, President and CEO of the National Association for the Self-Employed. Keith, your website again for people?
NASE.org.
Thank you so much for being with us. It's been illuminating, and I hope you have a great holiday.
Well, thank you for you guys. Thanks for all you do. Thanks for supporting small business, and thanks for supporting us, and keep up the good work.
Want to know more about health savings accounts for your company or yourself? Go to 2HSA.com and get a free employer's primer. Health savings accounts are a cost-effective way of offering health care benefits to your employees and yourself. HSAs build retirement funds for your employees, improve morale, and reduce your health care benefit cost. For a free employer guide to HSAs, go to 2HSA.com. That's 2HSA.com.
Dan Perkins here from Recalculating.biz with your featured book. I want to tell you about a recent interview I had with Bob Bethel, a turnaround specialist with lots of success in small business. Bob's new book is Strengthen Your Business, Fail-Proof Strategies for Small Business. He tells us of his life successes and failures that have made him and his clients so successful. Over the years, Bob has brought 77 companies back from the brink and changed them into thriving, profitable businesses. His energy is amazing, and at 74, he proves that you can still have a great deal to give others if you just try. His suggestions are easy to understand and very helpful. One insight struck me was that most companies do not have a plan. The old Chinese proverb says, if you don't know where you're going, then any road will take you there, is true today. Bob Bethel's book, Strengthen Your Business, can be found at Amazon.com or can be ordered at your local bookstore. This has been Dan Perkins with your Recalculating.biz featured book.
Welcome back to Recalculating, the program dedicated to American small business. Now it's time to bring together our two experts, Dan Perkins and Don Mazzella, as they discuss things that are happening now that are affecting your business success.
Our next guest is someone we've had on before. And the last time he was on, he was tremendously helpful. But now, tax expert, CPA, CEO, and author Tom Wheelwright is here to discuss this historic tax package that just passed and is signed by President Trump. Tom, welcome to the program. Welcome back.
Hey, thanks so much. I love being on your show. Fantastic.
Well, we love having you. That's why we asked you. Two things: your website, your book, and what do you think about what happened this past week and what's going to happen?
Well, okay. Website is taxfreewealthadvisor.com. Taxfreewealthadvisor.com. Book is Tax Free Wealth. I think this is I'm actually very bullish on this bill. I think this is very good for business. I think it's long overdue for corporations. Our corporate tax has been too high and too out of sync with the rest of the world for too long. And it's driven, I think, businesses overseas. We see Google, Apple, who've, you know, gone to Ireland when I think that they had a 21% tax rate. They would never have gone to Ireland. They would have stayed here. Okay, so I do think that it will have an impact. I'm glad that they put a small business provision in there. I think that it's extraordinarily confusing provision, and I think it will probably not help as many people as people think it will. I think that your typical, your e-commerce, your retail, your wholesale, your real estate people, they're all going to get the benefit. I think there are a lot of people who think they're going to get a benefit that may not get the benefit.
Dan, I'm going to turn it over to you because you have some always insightful questions.
I try to. Welcome back, sir. How are you?
Great. Thanks very much.
Before we go any further, I wish you and your family a Merry Christmas and a which hopefully will be a prosperous new year for you and your family.
Thank you for that. I want to say that this is the Accountants Full Employment Act, so it's
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. Absolutely. You'll have to hire some more people for next year, probably. You'll be a
for
growth
sure.
business. Let me go back to a conversation that you and I had the last time you were on, and there was a provision proposed that affected C corporations that were formed in 2018 and had a retention of at least 5 years before they were sold. They got favorable tax treatment. Did that survive?
It did survive. It's actually been in the law for some time. It's actually not a new provision. It's just that nobody takes advantage of it because the corporate tax rates have been so high in the past that you're really giving up a lot to take advantage of that. So basically all it is that and this is where people will start thinking about, do I form as a C corporation versus a flow-through, an S corporation or a partnership? Because
right.
If you form as a C corporation, you hold the stock for 5 years and a day or more, and you sell the stock, there's no capital gain. Zero.
And you said at the corporation level
the
or shareholder the investor level.
For
right.
The investor.
So this
shares
is
those shares.
So this was on the books, but not very practical under the old tax structure of the rate of
exactly.
tax that people had to pay. Okay.
That's exactly
so,
right.
Now, as I said in a previous show, there were really three provisions, three separate bills here. We had the tax bill. We had the elimination of the mandate, the individual mandate to buy health insurance. And the third one, which nobody has talked about at all, and that is the ability to drill in NWAR and expand those resources, hire hundreds of thousands of people, and create great jobs. So I want to go to a particular issue, two quick issues, if I might. First, were you surprised at how quickly after the bill passed that AT&T, Fifth Third, and Wells Fargo announced bonuses to their employees, increasing minimum wage? Because those, I don't believe that those decisions were made the day before. I believe that must have been in corporate planning as a possibility should those tax revisions happen. So were you surprised that they announced so quickly?
Oh, not at all. I think they're sending a message that, look, we're going to use this money. Here's how we're going to use the money. This is a windfall.
Well, the idea is that when and I want to separate this from one other piece, and that was the repatriation of previously earned money. These are really two different separate issues. The feeling was by some people that if you lowered the corporate tax rate, or that if you did reparation, allowing that money to come in at a very reduced tax rate, that the money was going to go to the shareholders, and it was never going to be used to create jobs and build plant and equipment. And yet these early adopters, these three companies, and I suspect many more are coming, they're saying we're giving the money to our people. Isn't that a hugely positive message?
I think it's hugely positive. And I think the other thing that nobody's discussed is what will foreign corporations do? I mean, if you were Airbus and you were building all these planes for American Airlines and you're paying tariffs if you ship them into the U.S., and you've got transportation costs and all these other, and you've got a high corporate tax rate now in France, 30%+, and now you could build a factory in Mississippi, and your costs go way down. I think we're going to see an influx of capital from foreign companies. Is what we're going to see.
Right. The other thing is that the ANWR situation has an indirect benefit. If we are, some people think we are within 300,000 barrels a day in crude oil, being the largest producer of crude oil in the world. ANWR would help that, and that's going to take some time to get done. But having a stable source of energy means that corporations would come and build factories, knowing that there is a stable and a cost benefit, because American energy is about 10% cheaper than Brent North Sea and Middle Eastern crude. So you get a lower tax rate, you get a lower cost of energy, and you get a workforce that wants to work. So there are a lot of tangible and intangible benefits of moving that factory from Europe, South America, or even Asia to the United States. And This is one thing that I think that a lot of people never believed was possible, that you could bring manufacturing jobs back to the United States. And yet it looks like there is a set of dominoes set up to be knocked over that could create tremendous economic opportunity of bringing foreign businesses and bringing jobs back to the United States. Would you agree with that?
I don't think there's any question. I think that the corporate tax rate has long been an inhibition, and I think that what you're looking at with the Alaska drilling is that now you're right. I mean, now that's just another reason. Okay, lower energy costs. So I think you have a lot of reasons for the foreign companies, particularly European and Asian, to come into the U.S. and set up facilities in the U.S. I totally agree with that.
Yeah. Were there any surprises, both positive and negative, that came out of this bill to you?
Oh, there are a lot of surprises. The biggest surprise actually was in that the small business, where they basically said that not only are engineering and architectural firms, so they win the lobbying. By the way, they win the lobbying lottery on this one. They got excluded. They are allowed to take 20% deduction, whereas CPAs are not. So UPC did not do a lobbying
very well.
How did
the tax guys get screwed? How did the tax guys get screwed?
Tell you what, we're so busy working on our clients, we never take care of ourselves. We're definitely the shoemaker. But what I was really surprised at is that there are a lot of people who thought that this would apply to them. This is not a positive for a lot of people, that in order to prevent gaming of 20%, they've actually going to catch a lot of people that really opting 20%. Anybody whose reputation is the reason for the income coming into the company is going to be excluded. So it's not just accountants and lawyers and doctors who are excluded. It's anybody whose reputation. So if you look at big education, educators, if you look at, you look at Tony Robbins, for example, his company may be excluded under this. So even though they employ hundreds of people, they may be excluded.
What about people like Don and me? Small entrepreneurs.
If you're an individual, you're a sole proprietor, I think in a lot of cases you're not going to get the tax benefit. So I think that's something where you're really going to have to sit down with your tax advisor and figure out, okay, so what do we do? Now, on the flip side, there's a flip side to this, and that is that the 21% rate now applies to everybody, including professional service providers, which you didn't used to. We didn't used to get the tax brackets if we were, a professional service company. Now we do. So now I think you've got on a positive side a possibility of, okay, maybe I'm not a full attorney, but maybe now I'm a C corp person, even though I'm a doctor or an independent contractor. Let me break it down really simply. Let's say that you don't qualify for the 20% deduction. So
okay,
you have that income that's going to be taxed at 37%. Okay, top individual tax rate, you got income's going to be 37%. All right, now you could convert your entity, whether it's an S corporation or a partnership or a sole proprietorship, you could convert it to a C corporation. C corporations pay 21%. So you could go from a 37% bracket to a 21% bracket. Now, any money that comes out, you either have to pay the salary and then it's back in your rate. You can actually manage what rate you pay. And dividends that come out are taxed again, but they're taxed at 15-20%. So there's going to be an advantage for some people to not be a flow through, but to be a C corporation and get that 21% tax rate.
But if I'm a corporation and I pay 21% corporate tax, when that money flows through to the corporation and it gets paid to me in terms of salary, then I could pay 37. I'm giving up almost over 50% of my total income in taxes.
Well, no, because your corporation gets a deduction for your salary, so you're not going to pay twice.
But don't I have to pay my income taxes on the salary?
You have to pay on the salary, but then the corporation would not have to pay would not have to pay tax on that. So you're still only at 37%. Your tax bracket. But you've got a tax bracket. Remember, the tax brackets are much better now. So you don't hit 37% until $600,000 married time.
Right.
It's been $450 this year. So that means that you can take, you could have some of your income taxed at 21%, leave it in the company, build the company, and you have other come out of salary being taxed at actually those lower brackets, because everybody gets the lower brackets. Not, you know, it's not like you jump brackets. It's just incremental that goes into those higher brackets.
And so the last part of the question was, what are the any positive surprises in the bill?
Yeah, positive surprises. Well, I think the big one is real estate. So the big last minute big surprise, and there's been a lot of discussion about this, is that real estate companies are going, even though they don't have employees, because you're limited on that 20% flow through deduction to 50% of your wages. Even if you don't have employees, real estate companies, because they have a lot of capital, they added a capital provision that you can alternatively, instead of looking at wages, you can look at your capital assets, and that you can still get that even though you don't have any employees. So I think that's the big positive surprise, is particularly in real estate. Anybody who has few employees and a lot of assets, they're going to get that same deduction. I think that was a big, big positive.
That, they call that the Corker provision. That's what they needed to get.
They did call
that
the Corker provision. Although I find it curious that they don't talk about the people who didn't vote for the bill who still get that same benefit.
Want to know more about health savings accounts for your company or yourself? Go to 2HSA.com and get a free employer's primer. Health savings accounts are a cost-effective way of offering health care benefits to your employees and yourself. HSAs build retirement funds for your employees, improve morale, and reduce your health care benefit cost. For a free employer guide to HSAs, go to 2HSA.com. That's 2HSA.com.
Dan Perkins here from Recalculating.biz with your small business tip of the day. Should I grow my business or stay the size that I am? One of the most difficult decisions about a small business is, should I try to grow it? And if I want to grow, what is the best way to do it? If you look at the internet, you can find lots of advice on how to expand your business. So here's your Recalculating.biz small business tip of the day. Go to the SBA.gov website and you'll find 10 ideas of how to grow your business. They're not in order of importance, they're just 10 ideas. Some may be more suitable, others may not, for you and your business. The one that struck me was, add another store. My brother-in-law started with one pizza shop, and over the last 15 years, he's grown to 5. You may not have a storefront, but a service business. So look at your competitors and see if they might be willing to sell or merge with you. This has been Dan Perkins with your Recalculating.biz small business tip of the day.
Welcome back to Recalculating, Dan Perkins and Don Mazzella, as they discuss things that are happening now that are affecting your business success.
Don, back to you.
I'm going to ask a stupid question. Do these provisions apply to what's coming up in 18, or do they also apply to this year?
That is not a stupid question. That's a fantastic question. Most of them apply only to 18 going forward. There are a couple of provisions that apply to this year. For example, being able to expense any equipment that you buy in 2018 in the last 3 months of 2017, is you can totally expense. You don't have to capitalize and depreciate it. That's one this year. I would tell you also, there are some things that people ought to be doing right now, between now and December 31st, because there are provisions that go away. So, for example, if you have a small business, you probably pay estimated taxes. You may have an estimated tax payment due in January for your state taxes. Well, if you pay that now, you're going to get that deduction. If you wait till January, you won't get that deduction. So it's very important to pay your 2017 taxes now. Another thing is, if you can, if you've got a real estate tax bill coming up in, March, April, May, which a lot of people do, pay that now. Prepay that, because then you're deductible now. So that would be another area to do. You know, and another thing that, you know, a lot of people think, well, I should buy a business vehicle, you know, now because I'm going to get this deduction. Well, one of the great surprises of the new bill is that the depreciation rates for business automobiles go up like triple as of January 1st. So instead of getting like a $2,000 deduction for depreciation, if you buy it today, in January, you'll get a $6,700 deduction.
Wow, that's a huge one.
It's a huge one. It's just a huge one. So don't buy. Unless you're buying a truck that you can expand. Don't be buying that business vehicle until next year.
Right,
Tom, very critical. Would you mind repeating them again for our audience? Because what you can do right now and summarize it, because I think that's very important for our audience. There are. You're saying some things you can do right now to help yourself in the future.
Right. Right. So number one, prepay. Make sure you've paid in all of your state taxes that relate to 2017. So don't wait till January. Don't wait till March for your or April. Make sure that you pay your 2017 income taxes, state income taxes, and your 2017 property taxes right now. Another one is, you know, wait. If you're going to buy a business, you're thinking about buying a business car, don't believe the auto manufacturers that want you to buy before the end of the year. If you buy it in January, you're going to get your deduction for depreciation on that business vehicle is going to triple. Okay, I'll tell you one more. And it sounds a little self-serving, but it's not. Prepay your the expense you're going to have for preparing your tax returns, because that expense is going away. That deduction is going away, but you can prepay that now. And you know, if you want to be nice to your tax preparer, pay it on December 31st. Send them a check December 31st, so they don't get it until January. They don't have to pick it up till next year, but you get that deduction now because that deduction is going away as well. Any other investment expenses also that you can pay, that they go up.
Is that because of the standard deduction?
No, because miscellaneous, they're called the miscellaneous itemized deductions, and they're disappearing. They've been eliminated. All investment expenses, all tax preparation fees. One other, if you're thinking of doing any like trusts or estate planning, prepay your lawyer. Give him a retainer.
Tom, let me jump in here. You have these things listed on your website.
Yes.
Your website again and where they can? There's a list here of 10 things you can do right now. That you've written. It's a fantastic piece of knowledge. So tell our audience where they can get it.
Go to taxfreewealthadvisor.com. Taxfreewealthadvisor.com. We'll get that. We'll make sure that that's front and center. I'll actually call my team, make sure it's front and center as soon as I get off the show.
Taxfreewealthadvisor.com. It's a fantastic site. I'm on there right now. I know you're in your car driving someplace, but I just saw it, and it's a fantastic piece of knowledge. We have about 5 minutes left, so Dan, another question from you.
Yeah, well, have talked to other people about this, there are two provisions of this bill that. It's not part of the bill. Actually, there were, as I understand it, there were three separate bills that were voted on. The second one was the elimination of the individual mandate on Obamacare, which is also potentially going to save taxpayers some money. And then the third provision was the expanding the drilling rights in ANWR to develop America's oil and natural gas resources. Do you have any thoughts about those two additional provisions and what their impacts might be?
You know, I think the getting rid of the individual mandate is fascinating that they were able to do that, given some of the senators that were opposed to that. You know, we could see that being the precursor to, you know, some real changes in Obamacare. So, you know, hopefully we can get that thing fixed. I hope that.
But doesn't that mean, doesn't
is that,
that
a precursor?
Doesn't that elimination of the if you eliminate the mandate, you eliminate the tax penalties for not buying insurance. So
that's correct.
By eliminating those taxes, you're putting more money in the person's pocketbook.
Right. I mean, what it's saying is you don't have to buy insurance. So if you feel like you don't need insurance, you don't have to buy it. If you don't buy it, you're not going to be penalized for not buying it. That's
right.
That's exactly what that means.
And not under current law, not buying insurance is subject. You're subject to a tax penalty.
That is correct.
For not buying.
And the other thing, here's the other thing it means, is that there's a certain level of insurance you have to buy. So this is where I think that people will really benefit, is that they can buy a high deductible now. They can buy a really high deductible. Let's say, for example, my son, who's 28, healthy, you know, nothing's ever going to happen to him, right? He feels invincible, right? So he's going, why am I buying insurance? Well, he can now buy a high deductible plan. Really high deductible, and say, you know what, I just buy a really high deductible plan. If there's something horrible, then I'm going to be covered, you know, above $10,000 or $5,000, whatever. And otherwise, I'm not really going to have it, but I can have catastrophic insurance. And you can do that under Obamacare. Now you can. So I think that
right.
by itself is huge for giving people. It's really about giving people the freedom to do what they want, you know.
Right.
What do you think is going to happen to the ACA?
Right.
I noticed that the various subsidies are not in the continuing resolution bill or this bill for next year, and everybody's complaining about that. What do you think is going to happen to the marketplace?
$65,000 question is what will happen to the marketplace, and it could have a huge negative effect. I mean, I have a son who really needs the insurance under Obamacare. He's handicapped. He can't get it anywhere else. He and doesn't qualify for assistance otherwise. So I would expect his premiums are going to go up, and you know, I'm hopeful that they don't just pull out, and that there's no option. Regardless of that we like the freedom, we like all that, there are some downsides to not having that insurance available to people.
Dan, last question.
Do you like the bill?
I do. I like it a lot. I just think this is, you know, the tax law is a series of incentives. That's what it is fundamentally. It's a series of incentives. And what this bill is saying is that the policy of the U.S. has shifted toward business and investors. This is a business and investors bill. And the lower middle class. Okay, so middle class making below $100,000 are going to see huge tax reductions, which they will spend that money, and that money should improve the economy itself. But they're getting another $1,500, $2,000 in their pocket. You know, if you're in that $50,000 to $75,000 range, especially, you're going to get a huge tax decrease. So there's a policy there. Middle America is going to really benefit from this. The huge benefit, of course, is going to go to two things. It's going to go to business. But remember that the people who owns corporations, it is people who have 401ks. So we're going to see, we've seen it already, but we're going to continue to see increases in the stock market, especially as we see new investment and see what people, see what these companies do with the money, because I think that it's going to increase stock prices, which, of course, helps everyone with a 401k. So that helps the rest of America. So I think this is a, I think there's a lot of positives to come out of this, and I'm not a big fan of high taxes anyway. Of course, my book's Tax-Free Wealth. So I think that there's just, I think it's just long overdue.
I agree with that, and I don't know who said this, but isn't the business of America about business? And for the longest time, the business of America has been entitlements, not business. And maybe we're going back to being business people again. And I think that's absolutely terrific. Thank you for so much for spending time with us on short notice to allow us to be as current as possible with our audience. I wish you a Merry Christmas to you and your family. And I know you're going to have a very prosperous new year under the full employment bill. So take care. Thank you for joining us.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Merry Christmas.
We've been talking with Tom Wheelwright. He's author, CPA, and his website is taxfreewealthadvisor.com. Thank you, Tom, and have a great holiday.
Thank you for joining us on Recalculating. We hope the information you received on today's episode was helpful to you in starting and growing your business. Please go to our website, recalculating.biz, to contact us, to listen to past shows, and see special offers. Until next time, remember, if you grow, we grow. Join us next week for more helpful ideas to make your business a great success. Recalculating, a program designed to help you be successful.